Today on this Christmas Eve service, I wish to relate to you a few thoughts regarding the incomparable Christ. The incomparable Christ. For truly none can compare. None can compare. And this story of today, the greatest story that has ever been told, the greatest story there is, of how God came to this earth in the form of a child at Christmas. Amen. I recently read a story related by a man who was remembering his family events around Christmas, and it was the week before, and he was babysitting the older children. His wife had taken the baby to the doctor for a checkup, and so during his time babysitting there, he looked over the newspaper, and he was so disgusted that each and every page was filled with stuff and more stuff, glittering and glistening gifts that supposedly people could not live without. The question burning in his heart, and perhaps in many of our hearts today, is what does all this stuff have to do with the birth of Christ? What does all this stuff have to do with the birth of Christ? As he was pondering this thought, the voice of his daughter interrupted his disgust, and she said, "Daddy, we have a play to put on. Do you want to see it?" Well, to be honest, he really didn't want to at the moment, but he did not want to admit it, and so he walked into the den, and immediately he knew he was about to see a Christmas play. For there at the foot of the piano stool was a lighted flashlight wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a shoebox. His son then entered, donned in his father's bathrobe and carrying a mop handle. Obviously, this was Joseph. His daughter had a sheet draped over her head. Of course, she was Mary. Then another daughter came in, acting like she was riding a camel, and on a pillow, she carried three items. She proudly announced, "I'm all three wise men, and I bring precious gifts." In her childish understanding, she declared, "I bring gold, circumstance, and mud." Of course, all of you Bible scholars today, you know that it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but some of us, we could see how it could sound like gold, circumstance, and mud. Of all the stories of Christmas, one of the most curious and mysterious has to do with the wise men. Some translations call them magi. Still even today, the story of wise men, it remains cloaked in mystery. Their story is introduced in the book of Matthew. Reading in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" We're told the story of the wise men, and reading on, we find they brought three gifts. Because of that, we often assume that there were three wise men, yet we don't know that for sure. Some believe they were Eastern kings. Some say they were astronomers that studied the stars. Some say they were of some priestly class, but they were devoted to the study of the heavens. Another likely claim is that they came from Babylon and that they had learned of the God of Israel through stories of Daniel, which had been passed down through generations. And when the wise men of Babylon fell short, Daniel's God was able to reveal the future. And so while some looked to Eastern religions, perhaps these looked westward to Jerusalem. Think about that. Could it have been that Daniel, who God allowed to see into the future, could it have been that Daniel shared the story of a star? Daniel would have been familiar, of course, with Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, that declares there'll be a star that comes out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Maybe that prophecy had been passed down through generations and through the wise men of Babylon, that one day a star would appear, and that star would signify the coming of the Messiah. The wise men declared, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Reading on in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Joy. You've heard the phrase, "Wise men still seek him." How important. With all the busyness of Christmas, we must still seek him. We must not forget about the wise men seeking the source of the sign in that star, for it's truly not about Santa. It's not about reindeer. It's not about a Christmas tree decorated with lights and ribbon and ornaments. It's not about the gifts under the tree. No, this season in which we must all remember, it's not about what's under the tree, but it's about the one who hung on a tree. Hallelujah. A shimmering star arose out of Jacob, and it became the light of the world, and that's what we're celebrating here today. The author Mark Twain was a controversial one in many respects. He wrote of a time and culture that thankfully is in the past. His religious beliefs have been debated by many. Some of his writings led people to believe he was an atheist, while other writings point him to being a devout Christian. But looking beyond his essays, his articles, and his quotes, let's look for a moment at the real Mark Twain, which is found in his stories. There's two stories today which I believe illustrate a wonderful glimpse of the greatest story ever told. The first is a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. Mark Twain, he writes this interesting story of an ordinary man who's transported back into the world of King Arthur. And at one point in the story, the man convinces the king to dress as a peasant and to travel through his kingdom. And the results are quite interesting because the king is so out of touch with reality. And he knows nothing about the life of an ordinary person. And so one especially enlightening chapter, it's about the smallpox hut. Maybe some of you remember reading this. They arrived here at this hut to find a widow grieving. And her husband had just died from that dreaded disease. And when she sees the strangers outside, she warns them away. She says, "Tarry not here, but fly, for this place is under a curse." But the king is moved, and he said, "Let me come in and let me help you. You are sick and you are in trouble." And not knowing he is a king, she asked him to go to the loft and to check on her sick child. The man who had been transported back in time, he begs the king not to go into the smallpox hut and risk his life. But the king ignores him and disappears into the gloom of the hut and climbs the ladder to the loft. Mark Twain then writes, "There was a slight noise from the direction of the dim corner where the ladder was. It was the king descending. He came forward into the light. Upon his chest lay a slender child, half conscious. She was dying of smallpox." Here was heroism at its last and loftiest possibility, challenging death in the open field unarmed. A king in commoner's garb, bearing death in his arms. And that, my friend, today is the Christmas story. A king descending. a king in the flesh, bearing broken and sin-ravaged souls in his arms. Let us remember today that, yes, wise men still seek him, but the reality is God is still seeking us. He is searching for us. He is that king that descended from on high. He is our creator, but he lowered himself to our estate. Philippians 2 and 7 declares that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I pray on this special Christmas Eve service that we'd have a fresh revelation in our hearts of a king. This is a mighty king. This is the King of Kings. If we could but see him today, our king descending. He was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger. He came in the form of a servant. He came for me. He came for you. He came for all that would ever live. This is the incomparable Christ. Oh, aren't you thankful that he came for you? Aren't you thankful that he lowered himself to our level, that he could know us, that he could save us? This is the King, our King today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so at Bethlehem, God came near to humanity. He was not just the junior partner in a trinity of deities. He was not just a good man on a mission. He was not just a teacher that impacted the world, but no, this was God manifest in flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We read in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. It was prophesied many years before by Isaiah that a virgin would conceive and give birth to the Son of God, God manifest in flesh. Joseph was told by an angel that he should continue on with the marriage because the child was to be called Jesus, the one who would save people from their sins. We must never forget. We must never allow this to be lost in history, but we've always got to keep fresh the real meaning of Christmas. It was the one who came in a manger. It was the one who came to be broken and take sin-ravaged souls in his arms to save us from sin. I tell you, he wasn't just a common, ordinary man. The reality was the king descended. He was the king. He was the one. Beside him there is no other, but he took on a robe of flesh. He left glory and majesty. He left that place of being high and lifted up, and he lowered himself to be like us in order to save us. Come on, let's just worship that King of Kings today. Let's magnify his royal majesty, his holiness, his righteousness. There's nobody like him. Bible scholars call it the condescension, assuming an inferior place, is described in the second verse of that beautiful song, "Down from His Glory." What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dread of night, not one faint hope in sight. God, gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, what a song. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, My all in all, the great Creator, He became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Down from His glory, the ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Would you sing this chorus with me today? Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator. He became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him. My breath, my sunshine, He's my all in all. The great Creator, He became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. That's our Jesus today. That's our Lord today. That's our Savior today. That's our King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The wise men said that He was born King of the Jews, but oh, He was more than that. He is King of the Jews. He is King of Israel, but He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's my King and He's your King today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, someone. He's always been and He always will be. There was none before Him. There'll be none after Him. You can't get rid of Him. You can't impeach Him. He's not going to resign. He's the only King forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He's the incomparable Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you can debate whether He truly came on December 25th. You may debate whether much of the season has some roots in paganism if you want. But don't debate the fact that there was a day when God came near to us. He lowered Himself to walk among us. He took on the robe of common flesh. He lived and worked and ministered here on this earth. God came near to us. Yes, the wise men, they sought a king based on a promise and a supernatural sign of a star. They sought Him, but they did more than just seek Him. But when they found Him, they worshiped Him. The wise men did not come empty-handed. They know you're always to bring a sacrifice unto the Lord. We're always to bring a gift to the King. Consecration means that we come with our hands full, dedicating ourselves and everything we have to God. And the wise men's hands were full. In Matthew 2:11, we read, "And when they were come into the house, They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The first brought a gift of gold. From the Christmas carol, We Three Kings, it says, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. This king, this baby born in a manger, in such humble surroundings, is presented with gold. It signified that he truly is a king. A gift for a king is gold. And so we know the city that he is preparing for us is truly made of pure, pure gold. The wise men said it so well that his kingdom may never, never end. The second gift was frankincense. Frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns a deity nigh. Praying and praising, voices raising, worshiping God on high. Frankincense was a special resin that goes into the holy anointing oil. It is used in the showbread of the temple. Gold signified royalty, but frankincense symbolized divinity. He is the king, but he's also Lord. He is God manifest in flesh. He is our king, but he is also our Savior. He is our creator. He is our Lord. Finally, the last gift was myrrh. Myrrh is mine. Its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Not only is he our king and our Lord, but myrrh is a prophetic gift that says, this child will suffer. This child will taste death. And looking forward to Jesus on the cross, it's no accident that myrrh mingled with wine was offered to him at the cross. Myrrh was also one of the spices used by the women at the tomb to anoint the body for burial. Oh, he deserves our worship today. He deserves our gifts. He deserves us to bring our best. Wise men bring their treasures and their gifts to the King of Glory. We may not have much here today, but we bring him our best. The wise men had traveled so far. They had faced a dangerous journey. They had risked their safety. And then they opened up their treasures and gave him their very best. On Christmas Eve, I can't think of a better place to be. We have family things, we're going to eat, we're going to have time of fellowship, but to begin this day, bring our best to Jesus Christ, our King. He still deserves our best. In the book of Malachi, it speaks of people of God foolishly offering to God their least while saving their best for themselves. I tell you, worship ought to be a priority in our life. Worship, if we're just going through the motions when it comes to worship, we're not really giving our best. If we haven't really given until it hurts, we're not truly giving our best. Wise men open up their treasures and give to God. And we're wise today when we worship him with the gift that only he deserves. And so today, the wise men, they left their gifts at his feet. But we need to remember something. Those wise men left with something that you can't find in any earthly treasure. It's not to be found in a bank. You can't store it in a vault. It's not to be discovered in a mine. But they left, the Bible says, with joy. With joy, exceeding joy. You see, our gifts that we bring, they can't even compare to the gift that he has given us. The wise men left knowing they had met the Messiah. They had met the one who would save his people from their sin. They left witnessing the future king of the world. That star may have faded from view, but they had a bright light of truth to guide them. No wonder the Bible says they went home a different way than what they had come. When we come in contact with Jesus, we can never be the same. So when we give him our best, when we bring him our best, we can't begin to match what he gives to us. It's a joy that you can't find in this world. It's a joy that no money can buy. What a privilege to be filled with his presence. What a blessing to be loved by him. What a day when he washed our sins away. What an opportunity to be led by his Spirit. Even though we give him our best, our gift can never compare to the gift he gives us. I mentioned a second story by Mark Twain. This one is called The Prince and the Pauper. We see two young men. One is the crown prince named Prince Edward. The other is a poor peasant named Tom Canty. These two happen to meet and they discover that, interestingly enough, they're almost identical in appearance. The prince, we find, he's weary of the palace life, and of course, the poor boy is weary of chasing scraps for food, and so they hatch this scheme to exchange places. Tom, he learns what life in the palace is all about. And Prince Edward, he understands what really his future subjects truly feel. When the king dies, the real prince comes back to the palace and he reveals himself all the more wiser about what life outside the palace is like. We're speaking of the incomparable Christ today. An article with that name was written many years ago and passed down in many different forms. Part of it says, "He came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of the woman. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He left a region where rivers never freeze, winds never blow, frost never bites, flowers never fade, where there are no undertakers, no doctors needed because no one is ever sick, where graveyards never haunt and death never comes, where no funerals are ever conducted. He laid aside his purple robe for a peasant's gown. He was rich, but for our sakes became poor, that we might be rich. How poor? Ask Mary. Ask the wise men. He slept in another's manger. He rode another's donkey. He was buried in another's tomb. All others have failed, but he never. The ever-perfect one, the chief among 10,000, altogether lovely, the incomparable Christ." Are you thankful you know who Jesus is today? He did all of that for me, and he did all of that for you. Hallelujah. The greatest gift was the gift of himself. It's so much more valuable than anything that we can give him in return. No gold and no frankincense and no myrrh can compare. For John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Would you stand with me today? We are so blessed. God gave the gift of himself, the greatest gift that there has ever been, the greatest story that's ever been told, the most powerful truth that there's ever been. God gave himself to us. And it didn't stop at his birth, but he's still reaching. He's still seeking to minister. He's still searching for us. He's still seeking to fill us with his Spirit, to transform our lives. He wants us to have exceeding joy, just the same as the wise men. And so just as God gave the gift of himself, he's looking for a gift in return today. There was a poem written close to 150 years ago. The author was thinking of how God gave everything to her. What could she give in return? She writes, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give him my heart. A king who comes to bear our sickness. A king like that deserves our heart. A king that died for us when we were unworthy, that king deserves our heart. He deserves our very best. He deserves our devotion. A king who's willing to step outside the palace to come near to us. Even so, our gifts can't compare to what he does for us. Yet I think there's a desire in all of us. God, I want to give you a gift today. Before this altar today is a simple manger, a cradle. Of course, he's not in the manger anymore, but he's in our hearts. His spirit is in this place today. This manger, this reminder of a place that our God of heaven lay his head. We delayed our offering today so that we might do something special in closing. So that we could come and bring him a gift. I realize it may not be much, but I wonder in closing today if we could come bringing our offering. You don't have to give today, but come bringing your heart. I wonder if we could gather around this altar today and worship of the King of Heaven, the incomparable Christ. I wonder if you would come today in closing and bring your offering and bring your tithing and place it in this manger today. And more than that, would you come and gather with us around this altar today and bring your heart to the Lord and offer it as a gift to Him? God bless you today. Let's celebrate and let's worship Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord as you can. Would you just gather here in this altar area and let's worship the King. Let's worship our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.